Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he reigns victorious. Over sin, over death, over wrong, over us. Victorious, he reigns victorious.
This is my Bible. This is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have, and I can do what the scriptures say I can do. Turn with me, if you would please, to the book of Romans. You know what, let's do, let's go to, instead, because that's, Romans is maybe in the future, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. My notes are here. 1 Corinthians. This month, I'm going to talk to you about unclaimed baggage. Now, it's important for us to realize that we are a threefold being. We're triplectic in nature. Isn't that a great word? I don't know what it means, but 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this. Paul said, I pray that God would sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely, and that your whole spirit, everyone say spirit, and soul, and body be preserved blameless till the coming of the Lord. And so we are a spirit, we have a soul, and that soul part of us is, because a lot of times when you get five souls got saved and we think, but the eternal part of us is our spirit. Soul is our mind, will, and emotions and intellectual capacity. And our body is this beautiful dwelling place that we carry around with us. And you look good today. And so when Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, Lord, what do I have to do to be saved? And Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus was a religious leader of his day. And he said, what do you mean that born again? I'm grown. How can I enter into my mother's womb and be born again? I'm too big for that. And Jesus said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So the spirit, soul, and body. And so when we become born again, there is a new creation reality that happens. We become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. We take on a new nature. And so that is intact. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. How many of you know that we can't earn our own righteousness? So it's not righteousness that we've earned, but it is righteousness that is what the Bible calls imputed or deposited into our life without our having earned it. So we are the righteousness of God in Christ, the scripture says. How many of you, though you are the righteousness of God in Christ, don't always, oh, let's say about January and the snowbirds are all here, you don't drive in that righteousness. Unrighteous thoughts go through my mind when they, you know, they're doing road construction, so you find an alternate route, and then they find out that you found out an alternate route, so they start road construction over there. Yeah. And you're sure they're doing it just to spite you. Amen. And so we're the righteousness of God in Christ. We are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Everything has become new, but we still have to work that out. We have to walk it out. We have to work it out. We have to live it out. We have to make it happen. We have to make it real. We have to. Are you with me? So 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul is writing here to the Corinthian church. Now, let me just tell you some of the background real quickly of this church at Corinth. They thought they were real spiritual. They thought that because they were activating the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they're prophesying over one another and they're ministering to one another. And the gifts of the Spirit were flowing. Therefore, they thought they were spiritual. Thank you, Ken. I hear your amen. But they had some unclaimed baggage. Now, let me define unclaimed baggage. Unclaimed baggage are those beliefs or experiences from your past that are still affecting your now. Because you know what? There are things that we can leave behind. But how things in the past affect us is different for every human being. So let me just encourage you, there's no pat answer. There's no simplistic approach to this. It is you and the Holy Spirit working it out and walking it out. And He is so gracious, and He is so patient, and He is so merciful, and He is so long-suffering, and He is so gentle that you can boldly say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to work on some stuff. And you're not going to beat me up and flog me and shame me, and you're going to walk with me through this. So Paul said, hey, this in Philippians, he said, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward to the things that are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And man, that sounds good, and I just want to do that. Forget all the things that are in the past and look to the future. But some of those things in my past are still biting me. And so that's what I mean by unclaimed baggage. And lots of times, and I talked about this last week, and you can go look at the podcast on the website if you want to, or you can invest in a CD, and they're normally $10. We're selling for half off for $5 this week. Just for you. Talked about some of my own issues and pain that affected how I interacted with my family. And it wasn't always healthy and good. Now, I managed my image pretty well. So most people would have known that there was sort of below the surface some anger, but my kids sure felt it. My wife experienced it. Are you with me? I don't mean raging, screaming. I'm not Italian, so I didn't throw pasta on the wall or whatever Italians do. And what do you Puerto Ricans do? It's rice? Shoes? It wasn't like that, but it was just always that edgy, I'm angry, and so nothing you do is quite good enough. And it was really subversive and subtle how that anger kind of leaked out. But it was because of unclaimed baggage. And some of that unclaimed baggage, I didn't even know what was in there, but it was just stuff that was influencing how I lived my life. So here we are, Paul writing to this Corinthian church, who, because they're having the gifts of the Spirit in operation in their lives, assume they're spiritual. Listen, the gifts and the callings of God are gifts, and they're without repentance. So there are people who are pretty messed up who can still move in the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's hope for all of us in this room to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through our lives. But in the meanwhile, there may be some emotional stuff that could be looked at and worked on and healed so that we're in less pain in our lives. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit. Neither, they're foolishness to the natural man. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, for he yet himself is judged of no man. For verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, isn't that good? Let's read on, verse 1 of chapter 3. Of course, when Paul wrote, he didn't write in chapters and verses. He's just writing a letter. We divide it up for convenience sake into chapters and verses. And he goes on to say, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual people, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So he's kind of lowering the boom on him here to bring correction and to bring instruction to help them truly become spiritual men and women. He says, you're not spiritual. You think you're spiritual, but you aren't. And just because you can prophesy does not mean you're spiritual. It just means God's good. Amen. If you have faith to help people and to bless them, or healing comes, or deliverance comes, or a word of knowledge, or a word of wisdom, it does not mean you or I are spiritual. It means God is a loving God, and he wants to help people, and he'll use us. So he said, I wanted to speak unto you as unto spiritual, but I couldn't. You're carnal, and I have to talk to you like babies in Christ. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, and you're still not able. You're carnal, and here's how he knew that they were at a place of spiritual immaturity. There's envy and strife and divisions. And some of you saying, I'm of Apollos. Others say, I'm of Joel Osteen. And others say, I hate Joel Osteen. He's a false prophet. And others say, are you with me? See? Oh, that's this carnal baby poop in your pants stuff. That's what that is. And so here's what Paul is saying. Pick up your unclaimed baggage. Because let me tell you, I was looking at some videos and there'd been like a documentary on unclaimed baggage and what kinds of things they find in unclaimed baggage, and some very valuable things and some things that are probably not so precious, dirty laundry and so on. But one of the women said that it's amazing how many wedding dresses don't get claimed. They're unclaimed bag. So you wonder what that's about. Well, they wore the dress and they're married and let it go. You're never going to wear it again, probably. So, or is it? It didn't happen. Or that just makes me wonder. But in our unclaimed baggage, not only might it be a little bit painful, and I think that's why most people don't claim their unclaimed baggage, because what if it's painful? But there's probably also some valuable things in there. Do you know, really, and I don't want to get overly into this, but truly, pain is God's built-in indicator system in our physical being that something ain't right. A toothache says something's going on here. And so in that sense, pain can be helpful. And so emotional pain can lead us to a place of, okay, Lord, what's going on here, Dr. Jesus? What's happening? And what are we going to do about it? And again, we don't have to have fear and trepidation about opening the unclaimed baggage and see what's in there, because the Lord is gracious and kind and merciful, and he knows everything about us. And so it's important for us to kind of think about unclaimed baggage. It's impossible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. And Now, here's what that looks like in our world. And so I'm word of faith to the bone. I want you to understand that. And I want to stand on God's promises and claim his promises. And at the same time, I want to realize that there may be things in my past, in my unclaimed baggage, that need to be addressed. And sometimes and we'll talk more next week about defense mechanisms and how when things get emotionally painful, it just goes, there's a reflexive response to that for human beings. They want to defend against that, and we have defense mechanisms. And a big one among church people, and for me was a real strong defense mechanism, is denial. That's a kind of the defense mechanism, the flavor of the month, is denial. Everyone knows about denial. Well, you're in denial, and we use that term kind of loosely. But when you're hurting and someone says, how you doing? I'm blessed, I'm happy, I'm joyful, I'm filled with the peace of Jesus, and I'm an overcomer and I'm a conqueror. And all those things are a spiritual reality, and they are true, but you need to find someone with whom you can be honest and say, I'm kind of hurting right now. I wish you'd pray for me, or let me ask you, have you ever experienced this, and how'd you deal with it? Or find people who have experienced those things, who've had some success in working through it. See, that's what support groups are all about, and most of us in this room need to be at one, somewhere. Either codependency or some addictive or compulsive behavior. Now, those of you who are normal, God bless you. It is an honor. Seriously, because there are some people who are pretty healthy, you know, and don't, maybe they didn't grow up with quite so many issues as I did, and some of you may have, but so to watch them function in a healthy way is helpful. Am I in the right room? I heard someone say, God canceled my lifetime subscription to issues. Now, and you want to go, yeah, he did that. But what's your behavior about? And so we know, so we have to kind of hold in tension that reality that we are the redeemed, that we are new creation, that old things are passed away, that my issues are canceled, and that's true, and then how we work that out in the reality of our day-to-day, moment-by-moment life. Because if you were bitten in the face as a child by a dog, and a dog comes along and you respond by, oh, we can say, God's not given me a spirit of fear, and that's true. But you're still having a fear response. Hello? So we hold those together and say, okay, God, thank you for what you've done for me. That's my inheritance. If you've ever inherited anything, sometimes it takes a long time to get it in the bank. The church one time, a woman passed and left part of her estate to the church. And I'll have to tell you, it couldn't come fast enough. What's the holdup? Let's call again. Check in. Call the attorney. Call the court. Are you with me? And so though it was our inheritance as a church, it just felt like it took a long time processing it and getting and going through the system. And that's kind of how it is with our inheritance in Christ. We have to work that out to where it really is happening. The spiritual reality of what is ours is really happening and working its way out in our lives. Man, that's good. Usually baggage affects our perception of God and of ourselves and of others. So, baggage, if we open it up and take a look at it, we can say, okay, what did I learn? So if you, I'm just going to give some examples. If you had a harsh father growing up, you may have a view of your heavenly father that he is harsh that he is impatient, that he is vindictive. And if you just, if I don't know if you do Facebook, but if you just look on Facebook or social media, you can see from the posts how people, for Christian predominantly, for Christian people, how people perceive God. Because God's ticked off and he's mad and he hates America's guts and doom and gloom and harshness and judgment and wrath. And that's their perspective and their perception of their Heavenly Father. There's some baggage there. Are you with me? And, or of themselves, people, what they post about themselves. Are they self-deprecating, overly so? Nothing wrong with being humble, but let me just tell you something. God, you are so precious and so special and so important to God, so valuable to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He loved you so deeply and fully and completely in me, in spite of ourselves, that he sent his only begotten Son to redeem us and to have connection with us and to have relationship with us, imperfect as we are. And so to have a good perception of ourselves and then of other people. And so a great indicator of baggage that's been unclaimed. Things from your past, experiences or beliefs from your past that are influencing today is what comes out of our mouth. You can really see what's going on by what comes out. What do you say about God? What do you say about yourself? What do you say about other people? And boy, that's just a lifelong endeavor to work that out. Are you with me? All right. So, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Well, believe it or not, we're going to conclude here for this week. Unclaimed baggage needs to be claimed. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now, Reverend Norbert and I, many years ago, I took a group to Europe. And we went to several European cities, and it was kind of a vacation, but it was also a ministry trip. We all paid our own way, so it wasn't like a church trip. It was a personal trip, but in each city that we went to, we would pray in the mornings. We would gather in one of the rooms. There were seven of us. We would gather in one of the hotel rooms, and we would pray over the city. And we would pray, I remember specifically, we would pray that God would give a voice to the true spiritual leaders in that city. And so we went to London, and we went to Paris, and we went to Rome, and we went to Innsbruck. And so we had flown from Los Angeles to London, spent some time in London, and then we flew from London to Paris. Now, I had led groups to Israel and had led other groups, so I knew that Americans like to be served. And so I harped and harped on, because I was angrier back then, be responsible for your own luggage. And this is a true story, so I have a witness here, Reverend Norbert. And so we did fine in London. We flew then to Paris, France. And so we got to their hotel, and I said, now as soon as everyone gets their luggage, because in Europe they do it European style, they bring it to your room and all of that. So we'd gotten our luggage from the plane, taken a taxi, two different taxis or three, to the hotel. And I said, now when everyone gets your luggage, we'll meet down here in the lobby and we'll go to dinner. So we're all down in the lobby except for one person. And just keep looking at me, Norbert, because I don't want to speak his name because I don't want him to. And it wasn't Norbert, but it was, and it wasn't me, but it was another person. And so we called up to the room and we said, so-and-so, where are you? And he said, my luggage isn't here yet. And it had been quite a while, so I said, well, come down to the lobby and let's talk about it. So he said, well, the taxi must not have gotten it out of the car. So we had the receipt from the taxi, and so now the French love Americans. And especially if you don't speak French and you just want to assume that they should be speaking English, they love that. And so we had the receipt. So we called the taxi cab back to the hotel, and he was not happy. And so he opened the trunk, and it was empty, and he slammed the trunk, and he squealed away. He was ticked off because we kind of accused him of not getting the luggage out. And so I said, okay, let's talk through this. Now, so I said, we got to the airport, and there was the luggage claim. Now, and I said, I got my bag and Melissa's bag, and Rebecca was with us, and Rebecca's bag. And another man said, well, I got my bag and so-and-so's bag, his wife. And Norbert said, well, I got my bag. And this person said, well, who got my bag? And his bag was going around the carousel just like that until the airline or whomever picked it up and put it wherever they put it. And we went to the airport to try and find, well, we can't find it. And so the whole trip, no luggage, like 2 weeks of rinsing out the underpanties and the socks. And he was rooming with Norbert, and God bless Norbert. God bless you, Norbert. God bless you, Norbert. I owe you forever, my brother. So unclaimed baggage can be very unpleasant. Let me read something to you here from the book that I'm reading there, Scazzaro. Top 10 symptoms of emotionally unhealthy spirituality. Number one, using God to run from God. See, your Heavenly Father wants to reach into those painful parts of your world and bring healing. But we are fearful. It hurts. I don't want to deal with that, Lord. And He'll be patient with you, and you can live out your years probably and not ever deal with it. But gosh, it would just be helpful. There's gold in that pain, so to speak. And sometimes we get so busy, got to do, got to go, got to be here, got to do, got to serve the Lord, got to do the outreach, got to do this, got to do that. And we use God to run from God. There's a book by a Catholic priest entitled When God Becomes a Drug. And sometimes we're not compulsive smokers or drinkers or drug abusers or ragers or shopaholics or sexaholics, but we are godaholics, where it's a dysfunctional connection with God that's not really about a sweet relationship with Him. I know that's maybe a little thought-provoking to some of you, but I sure see it. Number two, ignoring the emotions of anger and sadness and fear. That's a top 10 symptom of emotionally unhealthy spirituality. Number three, dying to the wrong things. You know, sometimes we deprive ourselves because it's almost like making us pay. Vindictive toward ourselves. And we die to the wrong things. Number four, denying the past's impact on the present. That's really kind of what we're talking about here in this series of messages. Denying the past's impact on our present. Number five, dividing life into secular and sacred compartments. Well, this is my holy self. And this is my work self. My family self. This is the church me. And this is... Number six, doing for God instead of being with God. Number seven, spiritualizing every conflict. You know, every time you have conflict with someone, it doesn't mean the devil's trying to attack you. It just means we're humans and we got rough edges sometimes. You got to work it out. Number eight, covering over brokenness, weakness, and failure. You know, look strong at any cost. And we need to find, and that's not where we just go spill out on people. We have to find a safe, right place for that. But we don't just cover it up and deny it forever. Number nine, living without limits. And that's just how to establish boundaries. Or the lack of ability to establish boundaries, what's healthy. And depending on what we believe about God and we believe about ourselves and we believe about others, you know, just because someone asks you to do something is no indication that you are bound to do that. No, that doesn't fit for me. I can't do that. I can't be there. I can't take that commitment. Are you here? Amen. Number 10, judging other people's spiritual journey. That's good. Okay. So I'm going to read to you just a little testimony of Sheila Walsh. And I don't know if you remember Sheila Walsh, but she used to be one of the co-hosts of the 700 Club. Sheila Walsh, Christian singer, writer, and former co-host of the 700 Club, told her story about how in 1992 her disconnected spirituality caused her to hit the wall. She said, "One morning I was sitting on national television with my nice suit, my inflatable hairdo, and that night I was in a locked ward of a psychiatric hospital. It was the kindest thing God could have ever done for me. The very first day in the hospital, the psychiatrist asked me, 'Who are you?' 'I'm the co-host of the 700 Club.' 'That's not what I meant,' he said. 'Well, I'm a writer. I'm a singer.' 'That's not what I meant.' And she said, 'I don't have a clue.' And he replied, 'Now that's right, and that's why you're here.' She said, 'I measured myself by what other people thought of me, and that was slowly killing me. Before I entered the hospital, some of the 700 Club staff said to me, 'Don't do this. You'll never again regain any kind of a platform. If people know that you're in a mental institution and you're on medication, it's over.' And I said, 'You know what? It's over already. So I can't think about that. I really thought that I had everything. I had lost everything. My house, my salary, my job. Everything. I thought I'd lost everything. But I found my life. I discovered at the lowest moment of my life that everything that was true about me, God already knew.'" And so I'm an up, hope-filled person. So I don't want anyone to be discouraged. I want you to be encouraged that even though, because we sometimes come to church and feel like we have a persona that we have to maintain, even though you may be hurting, it's okay. And that there may be rich blessing in that pain if we will press into it. And when I went to a counseling to get some help for some issues that I had not really ever, I had unclaimed baggage. And when I claimed that baggage and opened it up, it was painful. And I had counselors that said, "Lean into the pain." And that was opposite of my theological approach. My theology was get tickled. Get a little tickle. Find someone to give you a tickle word. Are you with me? And so that stuff just festered. And here's the thing that even though I love the Lord and I was a new creature in Christ, that stuff was still influencing me and how I experienced other people and how I experienced my own family and how I experienced my church. It would cause such dysfunction that leaning into the pain was helpful. And I have to tell you, And this was 7 years ago when I really got significant help, professional help, that I am a better man. I am more aware of life, and sometimes life is a little bit more painful because I'm feeling, because I had grown up learning, you don't feel, don't feel, don't feel. Just smile, suck it up, go on. And man, that fit right into my church training. Just act like everything's fine and you've got the victory. Hey, hallelujah. But inside I was hurting. And so leaning into that pain helped me to be okay, to feel life. And feeling is being human. So sometimes for me, life today is a little bit more painful in terms that I feel stuff. I feel sadness like I didn't feel it before. I feel, I'm aware of feelings, anxiety, you know, have a meeting or issue or things that happen in life just over there. And they're feeling that anxiety and dealing with it in a healthy way. Are you with me? Okay, I'm almost done. And if you believe me, raise your hand. No. So life is more real. How's that? I experience today a broader range of emotions and feelings, which I think is healthy, is good, and because I leaned into the pain, because I claimed my baggage, because I opened it up and saw what was in there. And some of the stuff you just got to throw away. That's okay. Well, that's okay. But some stuff, there was rich blessing in dealing with it, even though painful. You with me? Now, I was raised in, so real quickly, give you another little example. So I'm not talking about some deep, dark, weird, you're weird if you, but I'll just give you an example. So I grew up in a home where there were four of us, and when we ordered pizza, it was one pizza for four people. Now, every time we had pizza, from Joe's Pizza in Mattoon, Illinois, men, if you know it. Joe's long in heaven or wherever he is, in eternity at least. And Joe's Pizza, in his house, he had a pizza kitchen. It was so good, great pizza. And I'll get you out of here so we can go get some pizza. But every time we ordered pizza, I wish there was just one, and they cut it Chicago style, not like in slices, but squares kind of thing. And I always wish there was just one more piece of pizza. So today, if there are four of us, and we're going to have pizza, I'm ordering three pizzas. Because my past, that lack, see. And people who hoard often were deprived as kids. So I'm talking about real life stuff where we really live. And last week I talked about how perfectionism causes procrastination, because if I can't do it perfectly, I'll do it. Maybe I can do it perfectly next week. And so that you just procrastinate. So I'm talking about real life stuff that will, to varying degrees, certainly hinder us from really walking in the freedom that is our inheritance in Christ. Because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed, but we got to work it out. And sometimes working it out involves claiming the baggage and saying, okay, Lord, what's in here? You will help me. We can deal with this. There are people who have been comforted. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, wherever you've been comforted, go comfort others with the same comfort that you've been comforted with. And so you have to find people who've been through what you've been through, or something that's at least comparable, and have them help you through those pains that affect you today. Because I'll read it one more time. It's impossible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. Paul said, hey, I know you're carnal. You're not spiritually mature because you're emotionally immature. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I don't need you because you're not this part of the body. They don't need me because I'm not that part of the body. See, that's emotional immaturity and brokenness, and deprives us of the spiritual maturity that is not earned but is imputed. It hinders that flow. It's like a clogged drain. There's only so much the Lord can put in before it starts backing up because there's this emotional clog. And so God just wants to help us clear that out and walk in emotional wholeness. That is our inheritance, emotional wholeness. So here's the beautiful thing. God's word is powerful. It is living. It is powerful. And and as we spend time in the word with an openness to God, he will help us. But also knowing the importance of other people who've been comforted in similar ways and connecting with them and walking out our inheritance in Christ.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.